And our guest this hour, K.W. Kessler, we're going to take some calls and also continue talking with him about his work, Demonology 101, right here on Coast to Coast AM. So, Kurt, you're obviously upset. You think something is going to happen around this December 21st, 2012 date, connected because of this demon that was a Mayan. And, you know, maybe it's going to be a solicitation of the undead. Maybe some of the undead, maybe they're going to, you know, come back to life. Who knows?
Well, ironically, right now, I got my laptop in front of me, and I've actually got, you know, little chat links and all that stuff. And somebody put up, it sounds almost prophetic. It says, it looks like we may have to go through the darkness before we get to the light. And I'm wondering, you know, if that has anything to do with the whole sun conquest now. I mean,
maybe. Which is my thought.
Yeah, and the only problem is that these creatures, these entities, they're not nice. They're not polite. They're not good. You know, and there are some that, ironically, there are actually some demons that have done good deeds, and it's only because they don't swear allegiance to one side or the other. But for the better degree, George, I can't.
Well, Kurt, let me tell you something, and we're going to take some calls here. I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people in my career. You sound, and I want you to take this and do whatever you can with it. You sound like you're on the verge of self-destruction over this. I mean, you sound very, very upset. I can tell in your voice. I mean, that's what I do for a living, and I'm concerned that this thing is eating away at you. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've been dealing with the paranormal and demonology and so forth. I've been doing that for some time, and the fact that I actually get this sign, you know, and it just so happens to correlate with the winter solstice of the year 2012. I mean, forgive me if I'm a little bit freaked out. I mean, George, I love rum. Okay, I really do. My wife almost wanted to stick an IV in me over this week to get me to just liven up or calm down. Or
but don't turn to the bottle to escape this, Kurt. You know that.
No, I know.
That's not a good thing. Do you think because you have dabbled with demons that you might have opened up some kind of portal and something else is going on here too?
I hope not. I hope it's not my fault. I really don't. I don't want to go down in history as the man who destroyed the planet, that's for sure.
But by finding the Mayan demon.
Well, you know, I mean, that's just it, George. You get called in on a case, and once you walk up to that door and open it, you just don't know what you're walking into every time. And it just so happens that this one is linked to the Mayan culture. This one happens to be... It decides to go ahead and fully interact. I mean, not just, you know, like, hi, I'm going to do the typical demon thing and maybe toss some stuff around and throw some people up against the wall. No, this one decides to go ahead and actually scratch right live. So you know that it is not a person accidentally scratching themselves. You know it's not a person who is doing it on purpose. No. They're going to scratch right in front of you, and they're going to give you a number. And then you sit there, and then you talk, and you find out, oh, well, no, earlier there were higher numbers on other days. But, yeah, so.
You're not a skeptic anymore, are you?
On this case, no, I'm not.
No,
I'm not. I have to be fully honest about that. You know, this is a lot different than most, you know. I mean, look, I've been in situations where people have sat there and they just, you know, they're requiring attention and they might even need some mental health, you know, help. And for the better degree, yeah, that's when your skepticism remains an overload. But this, George, This is different. This really is just...
All right, well, look, take a breath here. We're going to take some phone calls. You okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to George, first-time caller in San Ysidro, California. Hey, George, welcome to the program.
Hello, how you doing, George?
Good, George, good.
Yeah, I have a story to say, and I don't know if this is has to do exactly with demons or not, but...
Well, let's find out. Go ahead, George.
Okay, at the moment it happened, I mean, it was something really freaky. I was about 13 years old, and my family is from a small little pueblo in Zacatecas, Mexico.
Okay.
Okay, and we used to go every summer. And behind my grandma's house, there was an old adobe house with a big door so the horses could walk through it, you know?
All right.
And me and my cousin would go out in the back in the, where the river ran and throw rocks at night. And I found a white dove, and I picked it up, and I ran back to my grandma's house.
Okay.
And when I seen all my aunts and my mom and my grandma all sitting talking, I put the dove out front of them, in front of me, and I threw it. But when I threw it, it wasn't a dove anymore.
What was it?
It was a giant frog.
A giant frog?
Yes, sir.
How did that shift? It shape-shifted on you.
I guess, but it was really eerie, and I remember it to this day. Like it was yesterday, and when I remember, it frightens me a lot.
Oh, my God. Now, did your relatives see that happen?
Yes, and they all started jumping and yelling and trying to get it out of the house.
So you're running with this dove. You throw it like you wanted it to fly off or something.
I wanted to, like, everybody see it because I was excited. You know, yeah. I was a young boy. I was about 12 years old.
And a huge frog. What happened to the frog after that? Just hop away?
They got out of the house, and they ended up calling a priest to bless the house.
Have you ever heard of anything like that, Kurt?
There are a couple of demons that are supposedly, I mean, I don't have firsthand knowledge on that, but there are a couple of demons that supposedly have shape-shifting capabilities. But a majority of them, when they shape-shift, they usually try to veer away from animals. That's very interesting. Whereabouts in Mexico was this?
He was in Mexico. Yeah, he just hung up after.
Oh, well, caller, if you can get back to me and let me know whereabouts in Mexico this was. It sounds very interesting.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to just love frogs. I would catch them in lakes and play with them and learn from them, study. I mean, it was just unbelievable. So I've never thought of them as demonic at all, but this one's that's a weird story. It really
well,
is.
Yeah, it is. You never played with a frog and it turned into a dove, did you, George?
No, and I never kissed one either.
Okay.
Let's go.
My wife claims she has.
Let's go to Marie in Loves Park, Illinois, east of the Rockies. Marie, go ahead.
Hi, George. First of all, I just got a clue about all those turkey people out there that are cooking turkeys.
Okay, what's the...
It will last longer in the refrigerator, but you got to take it off the bone because the bone's what causes the bacteria to form.
Interesting. All right, good.
Yes. I was in food service for 34 years, so I know about that. And the next thing, if I have time... okay, I lived in a house in Wisconsin. I was renting it. And one day when it snowed, I came home and the front door was open. Everything was turned on, and the furniture was completely rearranged and stuff.
That's weird.
And the other thing that I wanted to tell you about is I'm a sensitive. So when I was 12, my friend died of a scattered shotgun blast.
Oh.
The shotgun fell, and he bled to death in my arms.
It was loaded. It fell.
And we skipped school, and it wasn't good because he ended up dying. But I had taken three red roses and placed it in his casket. And that night when I was at home, I had fallen asleep. And when I woke up, the three red roses and the ribbon that I had around it was in bed with me.
There's a sign right there, Marie, isn't it?
So I just wanted to let you know about that and share it with you and tell your guests just to pray and have faith in God and things will be just fine for him.
Kurt, let me ask you that. Are you very spiritual?
Well, I ironically, I am probably what's equal to a witch, actually, in my own personal life.
Oh, see, there's part of it.
Well, but see, the trick is that I believe in energy. I believe that there's positive energy in the universe and there's negative energy. And if you want to call that positive energy, you know, God, Jehovah, Allah, even Jesus Christ, you know, it's your human given right to be able to do so.
And by the way, I want to point out, Kurt, you know this, but just want some folks who are brand new to the show to know, Wiccans are not evil people. They believe in God. They believe in a male-female gender of God, but they're darn right spiritual good people, and they're not the gingerbread cookie witches that Hollywood portrays them to be, and they're not satanic. They don't practice the black mass, and a lot of people get that confused.
Exactly, exactly. There is a big difference between Wiccan and the Hollywood version. You know, we're not green and right on brooms.
I'll get you, my pretty.
Exactly. You know, the biggest thing about it is that a lot of people have to bear in mind that there is levels of high magic. There are in early Judeo-Christian beliefs, there were actually rituals in which, you know, chickens were sacrificed. I'm not condoning sacrifice. I have to point that out, but I'm just saying that these rituals, they go back older than the religions were actually spoke about and written down on paper.
Well, the religion of Santeria uses a lot of animals in
exactly.
It.
You know, and I think a lot of people, they automatically, I blame, you know, the satanic panic, if you will, out of the 1980s, because that's when people sat there and they clutched their Bibles and they heard someone speaking magic and they automatically condoned us to being a Satanist or Lord knows what, you know. But the reality is that no, it's not. There are levels of magic that one can achieve. There are levels in which, you know, you can actually conjure spirits. You can call them forward. And then you unfortunately have cases where people who are interested in conjuring magic, it leads me to the one thing that I swear to you, George, actually kind of just makes me actually kind of laugh when I review it. And that is, you know how many times I've gone into a house where there's supposedly a demonic presence and the source of everything is actually just nothing more but a Ouija board?
Well, you know what? And I would believe that too, Kurt. And Ouija people, boards aren't the thing you want to keep around your house.
You know, I mean, I'll jokingly tell people, oh yeah, I'll bring the Ouija board out because it's wholesome family fun. No, I don't do that. Ouija boards, for the better degree, should it, providing that you've never used it, you can use it as a wall decoration. But that's about as far as
I wouldn't go. I wouldn't even do that. And if you want to play a board game, go get Monopoly or Clue or something like that.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I mean, the biggest thing is that, yeah, I mean, I've been called in a lot of cases, and it's only because someone who's interested in Wicca or the paranormal or the occult in general, they do. They go out to Toys R Us, they get the Ouija board, they take it home, and then next thing you know, because they're treating it as a joke, they fail to realize, no, you are giving open opportunity for whatever to come through. You know, it's also like a lot of people that sit there and get into EVP work because they make they get a recorder and they start making recordings. They fail to realize that when you're sitting there doing this EVP work, you're actually attracting spirits, you know, and it's the same as anything. Anything that they can use to communicate, that's what they're attracted to because that's what they want to do. Why talk to another ghost when you get the chance to talk to a human? And you know, let's face facts, if you're a little bit mischievous, it gives you the opportunity to mess with that human. And like I said, I've been called in on too many Ouija boards. There's things that you need to do, and a lot of people just aren't prepared to actually learn how to do everything. I always tell people, if you want to do something like that, you should learn how to banish something that you're calling from the other side.
I mean, it's very possible, too, Kurt, that because of everything you've done and the places you've gone, that, you know, you could have some forces around you that aren't too pleasant.
No, one thing I learned to do a long time ago, especially after I had a daughter enter my life, and that was set any place I lived up for straight protection. I recently just bought a house, and one of the first things I had to do before we even moved in was I had to drill holes in the wall so I could fill, you know, the bottoms of walls up with salt. A lot of people look at it like, well, what's that about? Well, salt's one of the best, you know, protection barriers against any spirit. It doesn't matter if it's good or evil. I don't want them in my house. I want my daughter to smile. I don't want her to be in bed, you know, scared. You know what I mean?
You got it. Let's go to Carl, truck driving in Tennessee. Carl, thanks. Go ahead.
Hey, George.
Hey.
Real quick, I know you're getting close to a break. You know, like I was telling Tom, I've kind of had a thought in my mind for a long time. You know, the Egyptians, some of their gods look like demons. The Aztec, the Maya, all those cultures had pyramids. Mm-hmm. And what if you thought of a pyramid as an inverted funnel, bringing things up from the underworld into this world so that they would make it easier for them to come in? You had a wide base for them to hit and then a narrow shaft for them to come out of.
That's an interesting possibility. I never thought of that.
You know, I mean, even look at the pyramid in Vegas, you know, how the light just comes straight out of the top, just pours out of the top of it.
Out of the Luxor. Yeah.
Yeah. The Luxor, you know, it's just kind of a wild thought, you know, with him talking about this being a Mayan demon, you know. What if those pyramids are meant not to bring gods down or help us find the stars, but to bring things from the underworld to funnel them into this world?
All right, that's a good possibility. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Actually, I like that theory. That's actually a very interesting theory. I will have to actually double-check and look into that. I do know that, you know, he actually brought up, you know, Egyptian mythology and whatnot, and gods like Thoth are actually modern-day demons, if you will. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, even though he was a god of the Egyptian god, actually a magic, Thoth actually took his place by Satan's side as a cohort when Jehovah banned the use of magic for humans. And Thoth was actually considered one of, you know, Satan's, you know, like lead generals during the early Holy Wars.
Well, that's a good point, too. Strong possibility. Tell us a little bit about Demonology 101. Where do you get the book?
Well, actually, you get the book, of course, from my website, demon101.com, which, of course, you can contact me, read my blog and so forth. You'll have to forgive me. I just started my blog. I really never took time to do anything like that. You can get it through Amazon.com. You can get it in both print and Kindle download, and then you can get it through BarnesandNoble.com.
Super. And Kurt's website, of course, is linked up right there at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie. We'll come back in a moment. We'll take more phone calls with Kurt before we go into open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we're with Kurt Kessler. He's the author of Demonology 101. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take final phone calls with him. He's obviously very distressed over something that is happening, something that he has witnessed, and it is not a friendly situation for him at all. Anyway, we'll come back with your calls in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, back with more of your phone calls here with Kurt Kessler, Demonology 101. What does the book tell us, Kurt?
Well, it gives you, you know, a basic overview. It actually goes into, you know, like I said, known listings of demons. The ones that I couldn't give you much more than a name and a, you know, a last known situation, I didn't really actually include. I'll probably have to save that for Demonology 202. It does give you the actual known races and the actual known tribes of demons. And, of course, it gives you the concept of banishing and even summoning, unfortunately. For some people, they sit there and they freak out when they say summoning, but, you know, it's actually a two-way street. You know what I mean?
You got that right. Let's go to Mike Butte, Montana. Take it away, Mike. Thanks for holding.
Thank you, George. Hello, Kurt. Sure. Hello, George. I wanted to ask you if you've ever heard of a demon, a female demon called Lo-Yo. I encountered it it started out as I was meditating, and then it kind of became an astral projection. And then I ended up in this gal's house that I know, and I seen this demon overlaid in her. And it's a very scary subject, and it really frightened me. But that name again is Lo-Lo-Yo. And
Lo-Lo-Yo. Huh.
L-O-L-O-Y-O. Almost like a number to me.
That's actually a little bit interesting. Let's see here. I'm actually looking through my personal notes. I don't believe I've actually got a record of that one on file.
How did you get that name, Mike?
After being in her house during the astral projection, and it was then I ended up like standing on a stage with this emaciated demon demanding her name, and she finally told me. And then it was like I woke up out of a dream, so the whole thing could have just been a dream, but it really affected me. I mean, it really shocked me.
Well, sir, I won't lie to you. I don't have a file on that one. If you could get in contact with me and give me some details, obviously I can start up a file.
There's always a first one, huh?
I'll do that. I plan on getting your book. I do know that the Lo-Lo is a tributary that runs into the Agave River in Gabon in equatorial Africa, but that's all I could find out.
Interesting. Hmm. Okay, thank you, Mike. We'll do that.
Hey, you know, that's the one thing about this, George, is every day there's always new information coming forward from somewhere.
Do you like doing research on demonology?
Well, I wouldn't be talking to you if I didn't, George.
I bet you're fun at parties, right? What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a demonologist.
Yeah, they usually have a tendency to either stick a drink in my hand and tell me to shut up or just back away from me.
Yeah, they walk away from you. Sure. Yeah. Let's go to Abbott, Texas. Kim, you're on with us. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi. I am a little bit nervous. This is my first time. I'll try not to take a lot of time. I had studied witchcraft and things like that a long time ago, and at age 13, I fell out of a tree, had an out-of-body experience. And around that time, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, showed me He's real. And I repented of my sins, and at first I was crying tears of repentance, and then it turned into tears of joy. And ever since then, I've been on a spiritual journey, and God has protected me. I did have a lot of books about the occult at my house, and I destroyed them all when a friend told me that you should have nothing to do with wizards and witchcraft and sorcery and that type of thing. I just went and destroyed them.
You got rid of them all.
But let me just tell you this.
Yeah, go ahead, Kim. No, go ahead.
Well, on last December, in this house, in this kitchen where I am right now, I walked into the kitchen. It was just a regular old day, and I had studied numerology briefly, you know, years back. And anyway, I walked into the kitchen, and the coffee pot has numbers on it. So it was December the 21st, and when I walked into the kitchen, it said 12:21, so it was 12:20, you know, around noon. And I went over to the table and got a piece of paper, and I just thought, you know, this is odd. And I wrote down those numbers, and then I thought, okay, and it's 2010, so I wrote that down. And then I thought, well, there's 30 seconds in a minute, so I wrote that down. And then I put out to the side equals, 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 and so on, and it was 3-3-3-3-3-3. And then I went ahead, and it goes 6-6-6.
Both bad signs. Wasn't the 333 the time that Christ apparently died?
Well,
not that they had watches then.
what this equal to is 666. And the next day at work, you know, I told the ladies at work, some of them said, that's interesting. And then after work, I told a man at a convenience store, nobody else was around, so I told him. And but I ended up explaining the Bible and creation and all that. Nobody else was around. And he reached down. I thought he wanted the paper. And when I reached to give him the paper, he took my hands in his hands, and he said, Nobody's ever explained that to me. He said, everybody in my family is an atheist, and I've always wondered about these things. So I've used that as a tool to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I don't want anybody to be afraid out there, but they need to just repent of doing wrong and turn to him as their Savior. And it's
well, Kim, let me ask you. You said you were 13 when you fell out of a tree. How far was the fall?
It was a couple of stories up.
Wow.
Ouch.
You are lucky to be alive.
My parents said I bounced. And, you know, anyway, I'm glad to be alive, but I did have an out-of-body experience.
Well, that jarring effect, that could happen. It sure was. A lot of people turn to spirituality, Kurt, during these episodes. Have you, because of the experiences you've had? Are you very spiritual?
I've actually become spiritual. For the better degree, I kind of turned my back on faiths and spirituality. I was very young when my mom passed away, and I kind of blamed God, if you will. And one of the things that got me the most that I've actually seen this, and that last caller, that's actually very true. There are a lot of people out there that dabble in the occult, and then they're given a sign, and they go to Christ. They go to a religious faith, pick one. And what happens, and I actually have I've actually got a plausible theory as to what happens. When you dabble in the occult, you've got a choice. You can either stay with it or you could move on. When you, elect to go ahead and dedicate energy, if you will, because that's what all religions can basically break down to, mm-hmm. is just an energy force. When you're given energy to something out of the occult, and then you stop and you take that away and say you become a born-again Christian, and you start giving your energy to God and Jesus, what happens is the forces behind the occult, they get angry. They get upset. They were getting fed, if you will. And considering that, Christianity is one of the biggest religions on the planet, they're a little bit upset because they used to have all this energy. I mean, the gods still exist from the days of the Egyptians, the days of the Greeks. They're just on different pantheons as Jehovah is, basically consolidated himself on the main pantheon and has rule. What happens is a lot of people who sit there and they go from the occult into Christianity, they end up being some of the biggest people that get, under attack from demonic forces. I've noticed that. It's almost like they want them to question their faith. So hopefully they'll come back to the occult.
Sure.
And of course, give that energy back to them.
No doubt.
But, and I've discussed this with quite a few of my colleagues, and we've actually pretty much agreed that's actually a very plausible theory because a lot of people who become born again or at least take their Christianity very, very, very serious, they end up being the ones that get messed with the most.
Okay, let's take this text question from Craig in Carson, California. Kurt, he wants to know, can demons get you or attack you if you do not believe in them?
Actually, now comes the earlier part about skepticism. Yes, they can. Now, much like anything in magic, I don't know if you've ever heard this expression, but magic works the most on those who believe in it the most. Well, demons operate very much the same way. It's an energy force that the more you're willing to give it, faith, and that, it's kind of like even with Christianity, the more you believe in God, well, that means that you obviously have to accept the fact that the devil is real. It's very much the same way. And yes, you can get messed with even though you don't believe in it. It just might not be as severe.
Okay, let's go to Marie in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Marie, go ahead.
Oh, I'm so happy to have gotten through. I am frightened. I am really frightened. About 3 months ago, I saw my own ghost. I was walking. It was mid-morning. I'm shaking.
That's right.
I was walking toward my front door, And I glanced to my right to see if the gate across the driveway was closed. And I saw this elderly woman standing there. I just turned 74, October 13th. I have a bad heart condition. And she was, I saw just her back, grayish hair, and she was in a house coat. So I walked over and said, "Do you want to come in?" She was looking at my beautiful garden in the back. So I unlocked the gate, and as she moved towards me to come through,
Marie, slow down now. Don't want you to have a heart attack on me.
I looked. I have to get this out. And I said, "She's a ghost. It was me." And as she moved towards me and I was moving aside to let her go through, she disappeared. Now, the word race came to me. I looked it up in the dictionary. It said a ghost or an apparition. And if it's an apparition of a living person, that person will soon die. And then I thought, you know, there are spirits that might disguise themselves to put you off your guard. And I've also heard the devil can't enter your home unless invited in. Now, I don't know if she got through the gate. I don't know, because I was standing there with the gate just, you know, partly open, stepped aside to let, and she disappeared. All right, that's what happened, and I've been afraid to go up and down steps. I've been afraid. I'm so scared.
No, don't be afraid. You know, this reminded Marie. Do you remember the Twilight Zone? Did you ever watch that?
Yes, always.
Do you remember the episode where Robert Redford played a police officer, and the woman was petrified of death?
And yes.
Remember that? And she didn't want to open the door to let in death. And it turned out to be good-looking Robert Redford, who she let in. He pretended that he was hurt, that he had been wounded. Yes. So she opened the door.
That's how I am. I'm good-natured. And I thought, you know, she was admiring the garden. I'd invite her in. And I was always upset at that episode.
You're afraid of death, aren't you?
No, I'm not afraid. I've died. I have died on the operating table. They told me I flatlined. I died two or three times, but I always came back. And it's not that I'm afraid. I don't want to, of course.
Of course not. Nobody does. But you know what? This is what I do, and it helps. I live every day like it's my last one. Every day.
Do
it day by day. Do what you have to do. I mean, Marie, listen to me. None of us are going to live forever. But do you believe in life after death?
I don't know. I know there is something, absolutely, and it's not the first time I've seen apparitions. And as a matter of fact, I called you months ago when you had another guest on about that. My daughter had been seeing the apparitions, and the one young fella and her dog chased this thing, and so the dog saw it first, and then me, and my daughter had been seeing it, and I called my father, and he did an exorcism because the baby was having high fevers, so he did an exorcism on both of them. It's called Fashanar. Do you recall?
Well, listen, you do two things. One, I want you to live every day to its fullest, and two, take care of yourself. I don't want you to get worried about this. Like you just said, you've got a heart condition. You know, and by the way, are you on any medication for that? What are you doing?
I had nitroglycerin. I flushed it down the toilet. It gave me severe headaches. I'm supposed to take I have a subacute cardiac arrhythmia. I was born with it.
Okay.
I've had two heart attacks. The first one, I was 19. I was asleep. It woke me. I was so frightened.
19.
Yeah,
you've lived with this all your life.
Yeah, I tell people my heart's trying to kill me. I've been fighting it my whole life. I make a joke out of it.
At 19, let me ask you this. When you were 19 years old,
did
you think you were going to die early?
Yes, I thought I would never see 50.
And every day you carried that with you. And then you got the 50 and said, "I'm going to go." Here you are, you're 74, you're still kicking.
I know. But this really frightened me, and I don't know if it was a spirit disguised. I don't know if it was the devil himself. I don't know if it was my own race. I don't know. And that upsets me terribly as well.
And maybe it was your guardian angel. Think about that, too. Now go sit back, listen to the rest of the show, and calm down, all right?
What has Kurt have to say about it?
We'll get Kurt's thoughts when you listen on the radio. Go ahead, Kurt. Got a couple minutes left here.
Well, actually, I've heard of actually this, and from what I understand, if she's actually gone through, like, death on the operation table, what she's actually seeing is an echo. Every time you die, the world splits, and some of you, you know, you end up, yeah, you have one reality in which you've died, and then you have other realities in which you've lived life differently. And chances are what she actually saw was her other self, you know, walking into the garden, going through the gate. I really feel for that lady, because I've heard of this before, and it is actually somewhat natural to people that have actually, you know, clinically died on a operation table. I've talked to a car crash accident victim in which they actually had very much the same thing. They walked into their kitchen and saw themselves frying eggs. All it is just themselves from another time displacement of reality.
Well, but Kurt, she has looked at death in the eyes since she was 19 years old. And I would guess she has carried the burden of this every day of her life after this, thinking, as she just said, she was going to die at 50. I'm sure she thought she was going to die at 19. Now she's 74. Maria, I know you're out there listening right now. Just listen. Get a glass of red wine. It's good for the heart. And relax and enjoy your life every day, because none of us knows when that last beat is going to occur. We really don't.
Live life to the fullest every day.
You got it. Kurt, thank you so much. His book, Demonology 101, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, we have a couple hours of open lines to go. Those of you on hold right now, Tommy will check with you to see if you want to hang for open lines, and I will be right back.